presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX4 calling control tower, CX4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, Bachelor CX4, wind southeast, sailing 1200 there, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode of The Adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, a couple of years back, Newark Airport in New Jersey was all but deserted. LaGuardia Field was the main cog of New York's air transportation system. Then aviation took another forward step, and to meet the new business, they blew the dust off Newark's runways, and again, planes and revenue began to flow in. Little by little, Newark Airport is climbing back into its rightful spot in the air transportation picture around New York. It's only 4 miles further from Times Square than LaGuardia Field is. With these facts in mind, the airlines worked out a plan for greater use of Newark. Beginning November 1st, LaGuardia Field became the terminus for most north-south airline flights, and Newark handles most east-west trips. The new plan does away with almost all cross-traffic on the New York airways. Setting up an arrangement like this helps cities far away from New York. For example, let's say an airline flight begins at Omaha, Nebraska, and is scheduled to pick up passengers at Chicago and Cleveland on the way to New York. Well, if traffic over New York is stacked up, there's no percentage in the airliner keeping to its schedule when it'll only have to wait over LaGuardia Field to land. But by making use of Newark, such delay will be eliminated, and that flight from Omaha can make its stops on time and be pretty sure of landing as soon as it arrives over New York. If the system works out as well as expected in New York, it can easily be put into operation in other cities having two or more available fields. It's a real step forward. More later, gang, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Determined to track down the mystery of the Wailing Witch, Hawk took Simon Gore's jet-propelled flying wing up for its first test flight, despite the fact that he was suffering from the effects of a serious head injury, the result of another deadly attempt on his life. The test was successful until the young pilot took the experimental plane up to a height of 20,000 feet, where the whining scream of the Wailing Witch pierced the air. He managed to bail out before the cockpit collapsed and the ship completely disintegrated, and when he reached the ground, whispered that he knew what the Wailing Witch was before he lapsed into coma. Now it is some time later. Tank, Simon Gore, and Max Kell, the elderly mechanic, are waiting in the dispensary just outside a small room where Hop is lying in a serious condition. The door opens and Major McCall appears. Tank rushes forward, but the Major holds up his hand.
No, Tank. Not now.
But the doc said I could see him.
He's unconscious.
Oh, gosh. Well, maybe if I sat with him.
We'll see.
Will he pull through, Major?
Oh, hello, Gore. I really don't know.
Ain't there something we could do for him?
Nothing, Tank, but wait.
Come on, Mr. Tinker, sit down over here. You're going to wear yourself out worrying, and it doesn't help none.
What else do you expect me to do, Pop?
I know just how you feel, son.
Major.
Yes? I understand Harrigan knows what the Wailing Witch is.
Yes, he does.
He told you?
He wasn't strong enough. We'll wait a little while and see if he rallies.
Do you think he knows who's behind the accidents?
He might, but he didn't say.
Incidentally, what about the wreckage of the plane? The crash trucks took it into the shop. I'll examine it later.
All right, but now I suggest you wait elsewhere, Gore, and you, Max, there's no point in your hanging around here.
Well, I'd like to help if I can.
Thank you, but there's nothing you can do, really. Gore, let the phone operator know where you can be reached. I may want you in a hurry.
Oh, certainly.
You want me to tell her where I'll be, Major?
Yes, please. And will one of you find Carla Davis for me and ask her to stay on call?
I'll be glad to.
What are we going to do, Major?
Wait here.
What about Roy Saunders?
We'll see him later. All right, Gore. That's all.
Right. Come on, Max.
Yes, sir. Don't you worry, Mr. Tinker. I'm sure everything will be fine.
Yeah, thanks, Pop.
After you, Mr. Gore.
All right, Tank. You can go in now.
Huh?
I said you can go in now. Hop's waiting for you.
But I thought...
Never mind what you thought. He'll explain everything. I've got work to do. Go on.
Oh, boy. Major, you ain't kidding.
Would I kid about a thing like this? Go on.
Gosh, thanks. Hop.
Come on in, you big lug.
Oh, Hop.
You're okay. You ain't hurt.
Hey, easy, easy.
Oh, gosh, I'm so happy. I
Hank, will you please keep your voice down? I'm supposed to be at death's door, remember?
Oh, but you are okay, aren't you?
A little shaky, but nothing a day in bed can cure.
I thought...
I know, that's what I wanted you to think. That's what I wanted everyone to think.
Why, for Pete's sake, why?
So we can get to the bottom of this mess.
Huh?
Whoever's in back of this is sure now that I know what the Wailing Witch really is.
Do you?
As I found out the hard way.
Then spill it for Pete's sake.
Later, we don't have much time now.
Time? What do we need time for?
Our fish to bite.
Bite what?
Hey, listen, will you please tell me in words of one syllable what this is all about?
I'm trying to, fella. Give me a chance.
Okay, go ahead. Well, we have most of the facts now.
What facts?
One, a big one, that Roy Saunders is behind the accidents to the planes. He didn't cause them, but he's working with someone here in the plant.
Yeah, Carla Davis.
Or Simon Gore.
Huh?
Saunders had his plans, didn't he? There's some connection.
Yeah, but why would Gore want to wreck his own ship?
Unknown quantity. And there's something else. Suppose Saunders isn't working with Carlo or Gore.
Oh, no, Hopper. I can't swallow that.
That's a possibility. Anyhow, fact number two is the Wailing Witch itself.
You mean what it is?
Yes. And as soon as Major McCall checks the wreckage for me, I'll have all the dope I need.
Hmm. And I'm way out in left field.
You'll be pitching in a little while. Don't worry, fella.
Look, let me ask you this. Do you know who's been wrecking the planes? Who's been trying to knock us off?
Yes. Roy Saunders and his contact here in the plant.
That's what I'm driving at. Who's the contact?
That we won't know until we put the evidence together.
What evidence?
The evidence Major McCall's collecting for me right now.
Where'd he go?
To look at the wreckage of the plane.
Fine. I'm right back where I started.
Okay.
Listen, maybe if you told me this, why are you playing like you're sick when you're okay?
To make the contact, whoever he or she is, fight.
Try to get you, you mean?
Of course. Shut me up for good.
Hey, I just remembered.
What?
That's what Simon Gore said.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he said... See if I can remember it exactly. He said that if you knew what the Wailing Witch was, and if you knew who started it, then such knowledge might be very dangerous.
An observation or a threat, I wonder.
I almost punched him in the teeth. I think I will anyhow. He was more worried about his plane than about you.
Oh, well, I expected that. Hey, who could that be?
Let's see.
Listen, I'm supposed to be unconscious. You handle it.
Yeah, check. Hey, Ab, coming. Who is he? Oh, Pop.
Mr. Tinker, how is Mr. Harrigan?
He's still unconscious.
Oh, poor boy. Is there anything I can do?
No, thanks. I'm just sitting with him. Is there anything you wanted?
Well, I wanted to tell Major McCall I saw Carla Davis.
Oh, well, the Major ain't here now. I'll tell him when he comes back.
Good. And she said she'd be in her room if he needed her.
Did you tell her what happened?
Yes, I did. She reacted very strangely, if I may say so, Mr. Tinker.
Yeah?
Yeah, she said... Oh, dear, I don't think I should even repeat it.
Come on, Pop. You want to help us, don't you?
Of course. She put it that way. She said, serves him right, and then she laughed.
Well, thanks for telling me, Pop. I'll pass it on to the Major.
Will you? And I'll be down in the shop with Mr. Gore.
Fine, we'll call you if we want you.
Good. I'll see you later then, Mr. Tinker.
Sure, Pop, so on. did you hear what he said, Hop?
Uh-huh. Very interesting.
Gore and his cracks, Carla, her cracks. We ain't very popular around here.
Certainly doesn't look like it.
Uh-oh, what now? Get it? Yeah. Hello?
This is Major McCall, Hank. Put Hop on.
Oh, sure. You Hop, the Major. Hello, Major.
Hop, I just saw the wreckage. You were right. The tubes around the cockpit are completely ruptured.
Uh-huh. Okay, you know what to do now, sir?
Yes, I'll get right to it.
And don't forget Roy Saunders. Bring him right up.
I will.
See you later.
Yes, goodbye.
So long, sir. Well?
Things are shaping up, Tank. With any kind of a break, we'll crack the mystery of the Wailing Witch wide open in a couple of hours.
Hoff smiles in satisfaction as he settles back on his pillow. He is apparently extremely confident of success. But is he being a little overconfident, perhaps? His enemy, who is clever and deadly, may even now be preparing to strike back. We'll bring you the surprising climax of today's episode in just a moment, gang, so stand by. You know, gang, when the name of famous flyer Paul Mance makes the headlines, it's always in connection with either speed or stunt flying. Well, that's natural, because he's the only person ever to win the cross-country Bendix speed race 2 years in a row. As for his stunt flying, well, he's been doing that in the movies for many years.
But Paul Nance, the businessman, very rarely gets his name in the paper. So here's the little-known story of how one of America's greatest speed flyers parlayed aviation experience and plain business sense into a money-making proposition. When the war ended, Mance bought up 475 surplus planes, including 78 Flying Fortresses and 288 B-24s. And when he did, believe it or not, Mance was the owner of the world's seventh largest Air Force. From these planes and from some smaller ones, he picked one or more of each type flown during the war. The rest he sold for scrap at about his original purchase price. Right now, he has flyable models of all types of planes flown in World War I and almost all types flown in the last war, all for rent to motion picture companies. He's the only one who flies these planes, and sometimes his missions in front of the camera are pretty dangerous. For instance, last fall, his studio wanted him to fly under the Brooklyn Bridge for a picture called Blaze of Noon. So, seated in the cockpit of a 1925 model male wing, he did it. Not once, but 16 times before everyone was satisfied with the results. He also has a charter service which does everything from flying entire movie companies to picture locations to operating a flying honeymoon service. With Paul Nance, aviation is an interesting and profitable career. Gang, make your plans now to get into aviation. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Huff's plans to capture their hidden enemy seemed to be working out well when Major McCall phoned his room in the dispensary of the aircraft plant and confirmed Huff's beliefs about the plane. But despite the young pilot's optimism, Tank was as much in the dark as ever.
What did the Major say, anyhow?
Tubing around the cockpit of the plane was ruptured.
You mean the coil? Simon Gore's invention?
That's right. There were holes in it, ragged holes. I thought I noticed them when I bailed out, but I wasn't sure.
And that's enough to tell you who we're after?
Well, it points in a certain direction.
Uh-oh, more company.
We'll work the same deal. I'm still unconscious.
Gotcha.
Hello, Tinker.
Ah, it's you. What do you want, Gore?
I just stopped by to find out how Harrigan is.
He's still the same.
Oh.
Anything else?
Well, I've been thinking. I've really been quite unfair about this whole thing. Harrigan has done a lot for me,
Yeah?
I wanted to apologize for my behavior. I'm really quite concerned about him.
Awful quick change, ain't it?
I suppose it looks that way, but I'm sincere, Tinker, believe me. I let my feelings about the ship drive every spark of, call it humanity, out of me. I've been wrong, and I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Well, if Hop pulls through, I'll tell him.
If there's anything I can do, well...
Nothing, thanks.
Oh. Well, I won't bother you again. Goodbye.
Bye. I wonder what's buzzing in his bonnet. Hey, is this a sick room or Grand Central Station?
That must be the Major again. I'll take it. Hello?
Hop, this is Major McCall.
Hey, yes, sir.
I've got bad news, Hop. Our plan's backfired.
What do you mean?
I just found Roy Saunders dead.
Hop grips the receiver until the knuckles on his hand show white. Roy Saunders dead? His one source of information cut off permanently. Now, how will Hop solve the mystery of the Wailing Witch?
Gang, you won't want to miss our next episode, so tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Well, on Hop, we'll be seeing you same time, same neutral station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.